Thank you, sir. Esteemed Professor Subrata Mitra, distinguished scholars present in this room at the moment, I am very happy to be here with you. At the outset, I would like to express my strong sense of gratitude to Professor Mitra, without whose active support and help, it would not have been possible for me to come to this place. I came to know Professor Mitra through his writings long back, and I came to know him personally about 3 years ago in Kolkata. Thereafter, we had started talking about some projects, and I have received immense support and help from his office, as well as from his colleagues in the department, more particularly Jibanta, who had contacted me a number of times. I would like to extend my thanks to all of them. About today's presentation, I would like to point out that due to constraints of time, I would be confining myself only to the challenges that have come up to the processes of democratic decentralization in rural India in recent times. And the institutional framework of democratic decentralization in India is Panchayati Raj institutions. Therefore, the focus would be on the Panchayati Raj institutions. Before I pick up the subject, I would like to say something about rural India. Many of you might not be familiar with that, rural situations. About two-thirds of India's more than 1 billion population still live in rural India. And the earlier saying that India lives in villages continues to be present today, despite the fact that urbanization is taking place in our country, along with other developing countries. But the problem is, almost 170 million of them are poor. 27.09% of the rural people live below the poverty line. Although rural India accounts for nearly 49% of the GDP. Agriculture is the mainstay of rural India, but land distribution is very skewed. The top 5.2% of the rural households own 42.8% of the area. 41.6% of the rural households own no land other than their homestead land. That is the rural economic scenario. There is again the caste system, with which all of you, I'm sure, are familiar. Therefore, I'm not going to deal with them, but caste system is another kind of a situation in rural India, which is closely tied up with rural politics and rural governance. With this brief background, I would like to move on to my presentation, that is Democratic Decentralization in Rural India, Emerging Challenges. We all know that when India was fighting for freedom, the nationalist leaders had given a very strong commitment that after India became independent, there would be a very strong, vibrant system of village self-government. But it came out very clearly when the dialogue between Gandhiji and Nehru had taken place on the birthday of Nehru, on the birthday of Gandhiji. In fact, there was a sharp difference between Gandhiji and Nehru on the question of how India would be governed. Gandhiji pointed out that India's democracy should start from the villages because truth and nonviolence get embodied in the villages. Nehru refused to accept Gandhiji's contention. In fact, it was that point of time which had shown that the future of India's rural governance through Panchayat Raj would not be very bright. When the Constituent Assembly was debating, the chairman of the drafting committee, Dr. Ambedkar, had reacted against village India. He had said, quote, villages are sinks of localism, ignorance, narrow-mindedness, and communalism. Therefore, India's democracy cannot start from the villages. Gandhiji had reacted to the Ambedkar's observation and the draft constitution that was presented before the assembly for discussion. Gandhiji had said that the Constituent Assembly members would realize that India's democracy should start from the villages, but unfortunately that was not realized by the members of the Constituent Assembly. After a long debate in the assembly, India's Panchayati Raj found a small place in the directive principles of state policy, which is in the non-enforceable part of the Constitution of India. Now, after India became independent, we have the first round of rural development programs through community development programs. But it was seen that community development programs failed to evoke people's initiative, as a result of which the planning commission had appointed Balwant Rao Mehta committee to go into the question of why the people didn't take active part in the processes of rural development. Balwant Rao Mehta committee had given birth to what we call the first generation Panchayati Raj in India. It talked of a kind of Panchayati Raj where there would be no party participation. It would be three-tiered. Initially there was a lot of political interest, but political interest was primarily because of the fact that there was political compulsion. After a lapse of 1 or 2 years, it was found that the politicians are not interested in the first generation Panchayati Raj that was conceived by the Balwant Rao Mehta committee report. Decline of the first generation Panchayati Raj had taken place within 5 years of its birth, and broadly speaking, there were four reasons. One was political will was not adequate to sustain the first generation Panchayati Raj institutions. Secondly, the bureaucracy was from the very beginning not interested in sharing power with the people. Therefore, there was a bureaucratic resistance to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. And thirdly, the Indian social structure based on inequality was not conducive to the kind of institutions which are created in the villages. And finally, there was the conceptual confusion about what the Panchayati Raj institutions would be looking like, what they would be doing. When the Janata government came to power in 1977, initiative was taken to give the Panchayati Raj institutions a fresh lease of life. A committee was appointed under the leadership of Ashok Mehta, and Ashok Mehta committee had given birth to what we call the second generation Panchayati Raj. Ashok Mehta committee had realized that Panchayati Raj institutions should be politicized, parties should be allowed to take active part in the processes of the functioning of the institutions of Panchayati Raj. But as the Janata government was short-lived, the Ashok Mehta committee report could not be implemented in most of the states. Our state, West Bengal and Karnataka, had tried it out. Karnataka could not carry it further because of political changes. West Bengal carried it further, but it was a different kind of Panchayati Raj, unlike that was conceived by the Ashok Mehta committee. Now, the constitution, now, at the moment we have a third generation Panchayati Raj. It is based on the amendment of the constitution, and most of the earlier conceptual problems have been resolved through the amendment of the constitution. Now, the third generation Panchayati Raj makes it very clear that the institutions of Panchayati Raj are institutions of self-government, and they are also instruments of planning for economic development and social justice. Thus, the conceptual confusion was resolved through the amendment of the constitution. Another problem that the Indian local self-government in the villages was facing was the problem of irregular holding of elections. The constitution made it mandatory holding of elections at regular intervals. Constitution had also created a new body called the State Election Commission for conducting the elections. For the purpose of engineering politics and governance, a reservation of seats for women was made. For the purpose of ensuring people's participation, an institutional framework called Gram Sabha was set up through the amendment of the constitution. Constitution provides for a list called 11th schedule, where 29 subjects are mentioned, and it has been said in the constitution amendment that the state government should take all initiatives to transfer 29 subjects to the Panchayati Raj institutions. We had failed that the amendment would be able to create a new kind of political atmosphere. It was a feeling throughout the country that as a result of the amendment, the institutions of Panchayati Raj would get a fresh lease of life, but the experience has not been very happy. The challenges are quite powerful, and these challenges are so powerful that there is a view that the institutions of Panchayati Raj have been derailed. To my mind, the substitution of the word unit by institutions, word unit was there in Article 40 of the Constitution of India. The word unit was substituted by the word institutions. To my mind, the substitution itself had indicated that there was lack of effective and strong political will. Subsequently, we had seen that the Indian state had created what is called Members of Parliament's Local Area Development Funds, popularly known as MPLAD. This fund is given to the fund is allotted to the MPs. Each one of the MPs gets about 2 crores for the development of the constituency. Money is placed at the disposal of the district magistrate, and money is spent on the advice of the concerned MPs. But there is no role of the panchayat institutions. The bypassing of the panchayat institutions clearly indicates that the Indian state is more interested in strengthening the bureaucratic hold in order to promote what they call responsive administration, and to my mind, this is nothing but carrying on the colonial tradition. Now, another problem that we find is the problem of the areas on which money would be spent. It has been stated that it has been found that the money spent by the MPs is usually spent on the items which are supposed to be given to the panchayat institutions. That is, the domain constitutionally mandated to the panchayat institutions is being taken over by the MPs, and this is very unfortunate. And this is an encroachment on the right of the institutions of panchayat given to them by the Constitution of India. The Comptroller and Auditor General reports had indicated that there have been cases of misuse of the money, inadequate use of the money. 64% of the funds have not been spent, indicating that the MPs were not serious in spending the money. One may presume that had the money been placed at the disposal of the institutions of Panchayati Raj, the money would have been spent. The study by Center for Budget and Governance had indicated that money has been spent on issues like construction of memorials and roads, connecting churches and temples, which are not permissible in terms of the guidelines of the MPLAD. Issue was hotly debated on the floors of Parliament a number of times, and there was a consensus that the MPLAD has to be scrapped, but nothing has been done so far. More interestingly, some of the state governments have followed the footsteps, and MLA lads have also been created in many states, and the institutions of panchayat raj are being bypassed. Recently submitted Administrative Reforms Committee has made it very clear that there is no need of MPLAD in view of the fact that the institutions of panchayat raj are being bypassed. But unfortunately, the Indian state is not paying adequate attention to the recommendations being made by the Administrative Reforms Committee. Interestingly, Indian state had initiated a move in 1997 to enact 87 Constitution Amendment Bill, and the bill had proposed to create a new kind of institutions of Panchayati Raj at the block and district level, which would be indirectly elected institutions. Chairpersons of the village panchayats would constitute the intermediate panchayat in terms of the 87 Constitution Amendment Bill. It is good that the amendment bill had been withdrawn, because there was tremendous pressure from the people. Another challenge that is coming to the processes of democratic decentralization is the increase in the numbers of centrally sponsored schemes. Earlier it was 30% in 1980s when the constitution was not amended. In 1990s, after the amendment of the constitution, it has gone up to 70%, indicating that the numbers of centrally sponsored schemes keep on increasing, despite the fact that there is a constitutional amendment which is for strengthening the institutions of Panchayati Raj. Centrally sponsored schemes form part of the 11th schedule, which is supposed to be given to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. Therefore, almost all the programs under the centrally sponsored schemes encroach upon the very domain which had been given to the institutions of Panchayati Raj by the Constitution of India. We know that Indian Constitution provides for three lees, one for the Union Government, another for the State Government, and third one for the Central Government as well as for the State Governments. If you like to have a strong local government, we need to have a local list. But unfortunately, there is no provision for local list in the amendment of the Constitution. And institutions of self-government without a local list, to my mind, is meaningless. The way the government of India has kept on encroaching upon the domain of the local government indicates that had there been a local list, it would have been difficult on the part of the government of India to encroach upon the domain of the local government given to it by the Constitution of India. Now, we had earlier referred to the socio-economic reality in rural India. Caste system creates structure and inequality, and caste system continues to play a very important role in Indian rural life. Land distribution we have referred to, there is again a problem. In a kind of this socio-economic situation, institutions of democracy based on equality cannot grow. Therefore, we need to bring about some sort of changes in the socio-economic reality. Otherwise, institutions of Panchayati Raj would not grow. This is a huge challenge to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. It was a challenge before the first generation Panchayati Raj. It was a challenge before the second generation Panchayati Raj. It continues to pose a very strong challenge to the third generation Panchayati Raj in the country. Interestingly, even after the amendment of the Constitution, new parastatals are being set up by the state governments, encroaching upon the domain of the institutions of Panchayati Raj constitutionally mandated. We have at the district level, District Rural Development Agency. It was decided in a number of meetings of the Government of India where the state representatives were present that the DRDA would not exist, that DRDAs continue to exist by the side of the institutions of Panchayati Raj. Money from the central government flow into the DRDA, and the institutions of Panchayati Raj do not have any control or say in matters of money to be spent by the DRDA. In some state, DRDA is headed by the Panchayati Raj chief, but that is not the case in all the states. And we have a typical parastatals like the Users Committee in Uttar Pradesh, which is very strong. Users Committee is very strong in Andhra Pradesh, in Haryana. We have the Gambikas Committee in Haryana. We have the Forest Protection Committee in Madhya Pradesh, in West Bengal, and many other states. They are very powerful parastatals. They encroach upon the domain constitutionally mandated to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. The Parliamentary Committee had examined the whole issue of parastatals. And Parliamentary Committee had recommended that the parastatals should not be allowed to exist, but unfortunately, they continue to exist, posing challenges before the institutions of Panchayati Raj. I would talk about now an interesting kind of a parastatal, which is of a different kind. There is a parastatal called Gabki in Maharashtra. It is a village collective consisting of village upper castes, rich, and village patriarchs. Women are excluded from these parastatals, and they are very powerful in the Maharashtrian villages. In case of any dispute between the Panchayati Raj institutions and the parastatals, there are cases when the parastatals won, Panchayati Raj institutions' voice was not taken seriously into account. And unfortunately, the government of Maharashtra or the Indian state have not cared to look into this kind of parastatal, which is inconsistent with the very spirit of the third generation Panchayati Raj in India. And we know of the role of the caste panchayats, which continue to exist in many parts of the country. In Haryana, for example, the caste panchayats are very strong. They decide cases of marriages between a boy and a girl, and it is this caste panchayat which takes decisions in matters of many things in the villages, although the institutions of Panchayati Raj are very much there. Now, the bureaucracy, the Indian bureaucracy, ever since the institutions of Panchayati Raj started coming up in early 50s, were not happy with the institutions because they had to share power with the people. Indian bureaucracies continue to play important role because the laws which are there in the states have not been seriously examined, which is required very much to strengthen the institutions of Panchayati Raj, except Kerala. No other states has carefully examined the laws which affect the functioning of the institutions of Panchayati Raj. Each of the states had Panchayati Raj laws, but in addition to Panchayati Raj law, there are many laws where there is reference to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. These laws need to be amended, modified in view of the amendment of the constitutions, but no state government has cared to do that. Many political functionaries have been found to be incapable of dealing with the bureaucracies, as a result of which bureaucracy continues to play a very important role. In fact, when the politics is weak, we know that according to the theory of bureaucracy, bureaucracy continues to play a very important role. And this is what is happening in many states in India. And conditions of bureaucracy do not ensure their accountability to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. And we have the lack of people's initiatives. It has been found that the institutions of Panchayati Raj are there, but the people are still to take initiatives in many matters affecting their lives, day-to-day lives. This is happening even in a state like West Bengal, where we have very strong Panchayati Raj institutions. Amurto Sen had pointed out that one of the most important pillars of a successful local democracy is strong people's initiative, which is not there in our country in most of the cases. In fact, we have not yet been able to universalize education, which was suggested long, long back by the earliest advocates of local democracy like John Stuart Mill. We have amended the constitution to universalize education, but things are not moving fast. Now, one of the problems that the first generation Panchayati Raj institutions had faced was the problem of not holding elections at regular intervals. This problem continues to create tensions. This problem continued to cause our concern. We have seen that the Assam government held elections after about 10 years. And there was no punishment given to the state governments which are not holding elections. Judiciary had to intervene in many cases to compel the state government to hold elections. This has happened in Andhra Pradesh, this has happened in Odisha, this has happened in Karnataka. And there is an interesting case in Andhra Pradesh where there was a battle between the state government and the state election commission. State Election Commission wanted the elections to be held. The state government refused to hold election. State Election Commission moved the State High Court, and the State High Court refused to take up the case, arguing that State Elections Commission do not have any right to file a case on this issue. And cash incentives are being offered when the elections are being held. This has happened very recently in Gujarat, where the Gujarat government had declared that the panchayats, which would be holding elections on the basis of consensus, would be given a cash reward. It's good that the people had stood in the queue and cast their votes. As Professor Mitro was telling us, we have to repose trust in the people, and we have seen that people have started coming up. And in some states, elections are held in phased manner. For example, in Punjab, elections are held initially at the Gram Panchayat level, then the elections at the higher tiers are held. As a result, people come to know the results of the Gram Panchayat elections. When the second tier elections are held, people get to know what has happened to the elections at the Gram Panchayat level. This is having impact on the elections at the higher levels. Seats are being auctioned in some states. We know of seats being auctioned in Karnataka, and there was no intervention either from the State Election Commission or from the government of the concerned states. In order to augment resources, seats are even put on bidding. We know of many such cases. Even the reserve seats are not spared. If the elections held at regular intervals, we have seen that the caste system gets weakened. We know from a study in Tamil Nadu that as a result of holding elections at regular intervals, caste system in Tamil Nadu had suffered a strong blow. Now, most of the states have amended their legislations, but no state has so far, except Kerala, has amended the panchayat legislations de novo. Most of the states have made some changes here and there, and there are states where the institutions of self-government, which is the idea of the Indian constitutional amendment, is not there in the state legislations. Many states still use the phrase, do not use the phrase institutions of self-government. Most states making piecemeal changes, I have referred to that. In terms of the 73rd amendment of the constitutions, 29 subjects were supposed to be transferred to the institutions of Panchayati Raj, and most of the states have not yet transferred 29 subjects. Some states have transferred the subjects without transferring functionaries and funds. A parliamentary team had expressed concern about the process of devolution, but it has not yielded desired results. In fact, a study was done recently by the National Institute of Rural Development, Hyderabad. The study had indicated that political parties are reluctant to devolve powers. In a situation where the political parties are reluctant to devolve powers, the institutions of Panchayati Raj cannot successfully grow. I know of a case where the MLAs had protested against an ordinance. Ordinance was issued by the governor, and the ordinance had created village committees where the MLAs were not there. When the turn for the MLAs came, they stood against the ordinance, and the ordinance was not passed in the assembly. As a result of which, the ordinance expired. The argument was the MLAs not have any place in the village committees. 74th amendment has provided for district planning committees, but unfortunately, most of the big states are still to constitute district planning committees. District planning committees are constitutionally mandated. States are bound to do that, but most of the state governments have not set up district planning committees. Some of the state governments have set up district planning committees, which are chaired not by the local political leaders, panchayat raj chief, but by the bureaucracy or by the minister. Finances are equally in a very bad state. Total receipt of tax revenue in 15 states is about 3.5%. Most of the panchayats did not raise resources. This is another problem. And we have the Gram Sabha set up in terms of the 73rd amendment of the constitution, but the studies indicate that most of the Gram Sabha meetings are not taking place. Even if the meetings take place, quorum is not there. Even when the quorum is not there, proceedings get recorded and circulated. One big NGO in Delhi, Participatory Research in Asia, had done study in 6 states, and all these findings all these things have been noticed by the scholars of the PR team. Women have been given reservation of seats in 3 tiers of the panchayat raj institutions, but empowerment of women is still to take place. Male members are running panchayat institutions, although females are formally heading the institutions. Although the formal heads are females, the actual players are males. And in UP, there is a famous saying called Panchayat Poti. It is a very interesting story. One panchayat member, who was a male member, his seat was reserved, therefore he couldn't contest. He had printed visiting cards saying that he is the husband of such and such, who is now the chairperson of the Gram Panchayat. That is the kind of situation in villages. Therefore, the constitution wanted that there would be female empowerment through the reservation of seats, but this is what is happening. There is tremendous bureaucratic resistance when the female members are heading the institutions of Panchayati Raj. This has come out in a number of studies. Females are also not effective in many cases. Many of them are still to perceive their roles properly because training has not been given to them properly, and some of them didn't have time to go to the training centers. as the studies have indicated, there is a typical norm called two children norm, which is prevalent in Odisha, Haryana, and two or three other states. Very interesting, one who has more than two children would not be allowed to contest elections in these states. As a result, what is happening? The poor people are deprived of the basic right to contest elections because they have more than two children. As a result of this kind of difficult legislation, desertions are taking place. Numbers of divorces have gone up in these states. Odisha and Haryana, these two are the important states in this regard. How much time left?
We've got 15 more minutes.
15 more minutes. Then we can concentrate on the key issues that we have been talking about so far. There is no doubt that the constitution has been amended to give a strong teeth to the institutions of Panchayati Raj. But the stories that we have been telling so far indicate that the constitutional amendment has not been very successful. Does it mean that that there is no need for the amendment of the constitution? My answer is, amendment of the constitution was very much required. It has helped the institutions of Panchayati Raj to move forward, but amendment of the constitution is not enough, as the experience has revealed. It is clear from what we have said so far that decentralization to be effective calls for, given the Indian situation, a restructuring of center-state relationships. That was the point which was hinted long back by the Kerala government when the CPIM-led Left Front was in power. It was pointed out that there is need for restructuring the center-state relationships. When the DMK government was in power in early 50s in Tamil Nadu, in the then Madras, the committee that was appointed by the Tamil Nadu government had also pointed out that there was need for changing the center-state relationships. Government of India had possibly realized that, as a result of which a number of committees have been appointed, but the reports are gathering dust. Not a single step has been taken so far to strengthen the state governments. On the contrary, steps have been taken to take away powers from the state government. If that is the reality, the institutions of Panchayati Raj, which have just the constitutional backing, but which depends largely on the political will of the state government, because it continues to be in the state list, cannot effectively work. Now we have again the impact of liberalization. The institutions of Panchayati Raj, as conceived by the 73rd Amendment, are instruments of economic development and social justice. The institutions of self-government as well as instruments of economic development and social justice. My point is, if the state withdraws itself from the social sector, how would the institutions of Panchayati Raj act as instruments of economic development and social justice? If adequate amount of money is not given to the institutions of Panchayati Raj, it might be difficult on the part of the institutions of Panchayati Raj to act as instruments of social justice as mandated by the Constitution of India. If we look at the data, we find that 4% of the GDP for the social sector, lower than that in 1980s, and lower than that in many other developing countries. But there are still certain silver linings. It is found from the recent discussions that the Indian state has long last realized that we need to amend the constitution again if we are really serious of strengthening the institutions of Panchayati Raj. If that amendment is made for the purpose of restructuring the center-state relationships, then the institutions of Panchayati Raj might take speed. Therefore, I would suggest that there is need for another round of constitutional amendment. There is need for bringing away back the MPLAD. There is need for reducing the centrally sponsored schemes, which keep on encroaching upon the domain of the Panchayati Raj institutions. as mandated by the Constitution of India. It is good that at the moment we have a separate ministry at the Government of India level. It is good that the minister himself is very keen, moving around the country, holding discussions with the state ministers about how to strengthen the institutions of Panchayatiraj. It is good that the initiative has been taken to map activities of the institutions of Panchayatiraj in different states. At the initiative of the Ministry of Rural Development, Panchayatiraj, at the Government of India level. But the fact remains that activity mapping itself will not take us far unless there is a serious political will to strengthen the institutions of Panchayatiraj. It is true, it is good that of late the people have started taking active interest in the institutions of Panchayatiraj. Civil society organizations have become very active nowadays. Some civil society organizations have started taking initiative in training the people. Some civil society organizations have moved the court to compel the state governments to hold elections. Some civil society organizations are campaigning for strengthening the institutions of Panchayatiraj. Of late, civil society organizations are coming up in a big way to work for strengthening the institutions of Panchayatiraj. But the fact remains that civil society is still very weak in India. And in states like West Bengal, the acceptance of civil society is still not much. Therefore, there are problems of the civil society organizations in our country as well. I'm sure those friends of mine who are working with civil society organizations in our country would be able to throw more light on the issue. But the fact remains that it is the civil society organization which has compelled two state governments to hold elections because they had moved the concerned high court to issue necessary order to the state governments. But the judiciary had also been very helpful in some cases. For example, in Assam, the judiciary had directed the state government to hold elections immediately. Judiciary had also asked the state government that if you fail to hold elections within the stipulated time period, then we would bring back the dissolved institutions of Panchayatiraj. Therefore, the active judiciary is giving us a new ray of hope. Now, State Election Commission had of late become very active in some cases. State Election Commissioners meeting in Lucknow last year, they had resolved that they would be trying their best to compel the state government to hold elections. But there is a problem. The problem is State Election Commissions do not have any right to move the court. If they move the court normally does not entertain the cases from the State Election Commission arguing that that is none of your business. This has happened in Andhra Pradesh. And the matter, when the State Election Commission had given a verdict in favor of the state government, the matter was taken up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court had also observed that it was none of the business of the State Elections Commissions to file a case against the state government to the courts. Therefore, State Elections Commissions are constrained, although the State Elections Commission had been found to be active in some cases. New institutions are coming up in some states. For example, in Kerala, they have created local level ombudsman, which is something unique at the level of the local institutions. Some states like Tamil Nadu, for example, have changed the legislations to make sure that women get two opportunities to contest against the same seat. It has been found from studies that the women were not willing to contest in the elections because they are sure the fact that they would not be given nomination in the second time. Therefore, Tamil Nadu government has made a provision for the seats reserved for women that they would be able to contest for the second time. This kind of arrangement in Tamil Nadu indicates that the women, despite so many constraints, would be able to contest elections. There are cases when women are networking themselves. Concept institutions are networking themselves. In Uttar Pradesh, women have networked to fight against the bureaucracy. In Madhya Pradesh tribal areas, women network themselves in order to fight against the bureaucracy. Therefore, these actions indicate that although there are problems, the horizon is not absolutely dark. Panchayat institutions are networking themselves in the southern part of the country very effectively. And the networking is taking place at the initiative of the civil society organizations. We have at the moment the Right Information Act, and as a result of this act, it has been possible on the part of the civil society organizations to take many issues to the courts. Take for example the famous case in Rajasthan. According to the Rajasthan Right to Information Act, a citizen has right to get any information about the programs implemented by the institutions of Panchayati Raj. On payment of the Xerox fees, a civil society organization went to a Gram Panchayat to get a copy of the activities done by them. Payment was made, but the information was not given. The whole thing went up to, well, they had taken up the matter to the district collector. From the district collector, the matter was taken up to the state minister. Ultimately, the civil society organizations failed to take up the issue because the panchayat institutions had decided that the Gram Sabha had decided that the information asked for by the concerned civil society organizations would not be given on the ground, that would be against the interests of the village. Therefore, often the institutions of panchayati raj are acting in a way which go against the interests of the institutions. I don't have time left. In case there are questions, I would be responding to them. Thank you very much.